Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
The FIA World Endurance Championship on RS1.
On RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Well, I've stepped out of the sunshine here in the paddock at Qatar, and I'm delighted to say that Ferdinando Garito is alongside me. He's head of endurance race cars for Ferrari. So listen, when we talk to people, we go right to the top. This is fantastic. First of all, sir, thank you very much for your time. What a year for Ferrari last year. We must start with that, success for both of the new models, the GT3 and the 499P. Tell me a little bit about all the hard work that went into that and what the feelings were within the programmes.
Well, definitely it's a year to remember for sure for everyone. It's difficult to forget, definitely difficult to forget, and the more we pass, the more the feelings are, let's say, coming out in this proper, you know, way. And so we are appreciating even more what happened last year. It's closing, I would say, 2 years of very hard work for all the team. We've stolen a lot of time from our families, and we, you know, as long as we start the project, we definitely focus on that. As you mentioned, we ran two projects in parallel, the GT3, the 296 GT3 and the 499P. Was not easy for a small team like we are. But you know, the success that we have achieved last year were somehow paying off all the effort. I mean, the season started very steep in Daytona last year, in which our 296 GT3 was facing some issues. And it was our first race. That was interesting for us because it gave us a lot of indication. And when in spring we were able to win the first 24 hours in Nürburgring, it was an outstanding achievement for all the people working around the GT3, and giving also some confidence to the team of the 499P that something is feasible even in a short period of time. Of course, the pole position we get in Sebring last year was also something amazing, because we know that the job we did was very, very effective. We ran for 9 months, not stopping, on track, at home, trying to care everything about the 499P. And when we saw that our car was reasonably competitive against the top performance car, yeah, this gave us a lot of confidence. So associated with the success of the 296 GT3 Nürburgring, we were arriving to Le Mans with some confidence, but still with a lot of humility. The path was, it's still very long. The way to go, and we need to take our feet on the ground and keep working hard. Of course, we were able to finish the race with both two cars in Le Mans. This was the first thing to mention, that no major problems or no stopping problems. Only one thrilling one.
You gave us all a heart-stopping moment, but that was dealt with in such a calm, collected way. Was it almost, for us in the commentary box, it was almost like time stopped. I suspect that it was similar for you guys too.
Yeah, I mean, as you remember, this happened twice in the race on the car 51. And the first time clearly was a little bit of surprise for us. So we took the stint after the first time just to understand what to do. I was just doing the counter down for the team, just to say, guys, 5 laps, 9 laps, 5 laps remaining, so we need to decide what to do at the next beat. But the team was, as you said, discussing in a very calm way, and we followed the procedures. We understood first the problem, the root cause. It was nothing really problematic, but we found a way not to happen anymore. Actually happened last time, the last beat, and I guess this was actually due to the fact that we didn't follow exactly the procedure. But then we prepare it and also share with the drivers. We put our procedure on top of the roof of the car, so the you can see from the camera car that the drivers were looking up.
Nice.
And apply the procedure, and the race engineer was suggesting to stay calm, do the procedure, and then everything was. So this allowed us to keep calm, mm-hmm. keep focused on the problem, and was, if you like, the way we manage everything, even in the past, you know. It's
I'd like to talk, if I may, a little bit in slightly broader terms about the concept of the two cars. With Ferrari GT cars, sports cars, there's always a weight of expectation. So we'll talk about the GT3 first. The opportunity was there for you to come into a new rule set and make the best of that. And it seems, for me, looking from the outside, you've optimised every single part of the car, not just for performance, but for serviceability. And at the Nürburgring, in fact, we saw the ease at which you could change the rear end of the car. The more I look at that car, the more things I see, things that are technical and things that are beautiful. They seem to go hand in hand with Ferrari, I must say. Give me an idea of the process that went on when you knew you were going to replace the outgoing car, and with particularly the thought on GT3 going to Le Mans.
Well, I mean, it's as you said, when we started 296 GT3, we were trying to learn everything, let's say, from the 488, which mm-hmm. was a great car. But nevertheless, we keep improving, and we, during this operation, all through these years, and a lot of success, we identified some areas which could be entitled to be improved. And so this is what we did. We wanted to have the same excellence of the 488, but also improve these areas that, thanks also to the new regulation, could be improved. And the target was we would like to have a perfect race car. that comply, of course, with the GT3, but it's a race car which our customer can enjoy to the most. Mm-hmm. The challenge was quite difficult, and what we had in mind is now there, and I think we have a lot to do still to optimize all the details, but the base is very good, and we can only improve, and so it's. Not a bad base. Then when we learned that we can bring the car in Le Mans, this was another good news for us, and we know that with this base we can have good potential, and so we need to focus. It's still difficult. It's 24 hours is always a question mark, of course, but as we did in the past, as we did for Nürburgring or Le Mans last year with the 499P, I think we need to be, or recently also in Daytona, we need to stay focused on the race, on the car optimization, on do things in the perfect way, and then the results will tell us whether we work well or not.
The 296 and the 499 were being developed alongside each other, as you said. I look at the GT3 car, and there are elements of prototype thinking in that car, particularly around the aerodynamics on that car.
That's true. I mean, it's same let's say minds that thought about the concept of the two cars, and we try to bring all the good experience we had in the GTT on the 499P, mm-hmm. and vice versa, or if you like. So when I say that. We would like to have the GT3 like a proper racing car. Mm-hmm. It means that we have implemented something that is more specific of a prototype.
Yes.
So somehow that car is a prototype with a GT looking.
Yes.
And that's make us proud, because we have a racing car.
Yes.
We have a GT3.
Yes.
We have something which is derived from the road cars. There are a lot of elements from that. So this proved that. How our road cars are prone to become race car in a quick way, but this was the experience we collected on the GT3 were very very important for the 499P, because I think there are a lot of things that we shared between the two programs,
including the engine. The 499P, we've told the story before, but 499 is the swept volume of each of the cylinders, and the engine essentially the architecture of the engine is the same between the two cars.
It's totally the same. I have to say that it's the same as the road cars as well. Huh? So we kept the same architecture, which is was quite, challenging for us. Mm-hmm. But the results are proving that we were right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we bet on what our colleagues did for the road cars, and we try to exploit the advantage of that configuration of that architecture. Of course, with a, let's say some modification, just to light the engine, mm-hmm. or have a stressed engine on the 409P, of course. But I think the core of the engine is the same, and mm-hmm. this makes us proud of the synergies that we were able to do.
And your engine designers and your engine department, of course, have a huge amount of experience, including with the Formula One engine and the way gas flows within cylinders, within cylinder heads and things like that. Was there an opportunity to use some of that knowledge in optimizing the engine for both the cars?
Yes. The amount of collaboration that we had within Ferrari, all departments, it's huge with this with both these programs, specifically for the 409P. And you were talking about Formula One, and yes, on the power unit there was a lot of collaboration, specifically on the ERS system and the energy recovery system, which we share a lot of things together. And this is a sign of the fact that Ferrari is more and more one company, only one company behind our programs. And every program is benefit for the experience that we are making, in every project.
And it doesn't just trickle down at the road cars; it flows down like a waterfall, as clearly as you've mentioned there. You said about the GT car, the GT3 car, and the back and forth there. But of course, particularly in design wise, the ACO want the hypercars to look like road cars as well, and to have more than a passing resemblance. My goodness, you've done a fantastic job on that. Does that help in terms of, I use this word, selling the program to the organization? It has Ferrari all over it, that car, and not just because it's red and with Ferrari written on the side.
Well, not that really. I mean, we clearly presented the program like, let's say, our opportunity to continue our involvement in the endurance top racing, with professional drivers and so on. And it was accepted and approved before the management knew about the real shape of the car.
Ah, okay, cool.
I mean, we were clearly progressing on the design, but at that time the car was more technical dressed rather than styling dressed, if I can say this way. This came later, as long as we have finalized the aero, and then we start involving the design team that worked with us, in a brilliant way, without compromising any performance of the car, but just adding the right element to make the car so beautiful and so nice by looking at the first time. So this was arrived later. I think it was not key element for the decision. Maybe the key element was we would like to be competitive. This was the key element, and it was for us very, very difficult to say, okay, we will go for that.
Yes.
But at the end, it was good.
Were you satisfied with last year? You achieved so many things. Could have won Sebring. We talked about being on pole position at Sebring. Could have won Sebring. Safety car came out early on at the wrong time for you guys, and if you'd stayed out, it might have changed the race. So everything came together so quickly.
Well, I mean, as I said, we worked 9 months, day and night, and in order to prepare every race. What satisfied me the most is the fact that in every race we were able to arrive at the end of the race with both cars.
Yeah.
No major, no reliability problems, just one accident in Spa, when it's the only race in which we didn't arrive with two cars. Mm-hmm. But so this is the first thing that satisfied me. So bring the cars always to the checkered flag. Mm-hmm. The second is that the car is inherently well done, seems inherently well done, with a lot of things to improve. That's, we know that. We are not at the same level as our fast competitors. But the base is not bad, and so this is, give us some confidence. And then, of course, 13th, if I can say, the results we have achieved and the victory in Le Mans, it's a kind of cherry on the cake, you know what I mean?
Certainly is. So here we find ourselves at the dawn of the 2024 season. Both of the projects have moved on apace. The GT3 project is always going to be customer-driven, and that we know that, and you guys have got a great... Ferrari have got a great history of supplying customers. There are a lot of people who want your GT cars. I suspect you've had to disappoint some of them because I'm sure you can't build them fast enough. We now come into 2024 with the 499P, and you've increased the number of cars in the FIA World Endurance by 50%. There's an extra car there. What additional challenges does that bring to Ferrari? And is it a measure of how complicated these cars are that, for now at least, AF Corsa is still running the third car?
Well, we are behind the third cars as Ferrari. Mm-hmm. So running the cars as Caris is very complicated. So it's at the moment it's not easy to run for a customer alone the car. So the manufacturer is fully involved in running the car. But I don't think this is the most difficult task. I mean, clearly we have increased our people and within the department to support this third car and this program for this year and the next years. But I think the most difficult job that we have to do is to keep our cars competitive, so follow the development speed. As our competitors are doing, or even faster than them, if we want to catch their performance. So I think this is the most difficult stuff. So we have to learn or keep learning fast, and try to understand how manage the evolution of our cars in the best way, either to offer the best car to the customer for the GT3, and to be competitive or fully competitive with the 499P for the coming seasons, for this seasons and the coming season. So this is, I think, is the most difficult stuff, associated to the fact that we cannot stop looking at the next year. So in 2 years' time, we have to look forward. So we need to work also for the long term. And this is stealing some part of our thought looking forward.
No LMH car from the WEC ACO rule set has yet raced in IMSA. Of course, the IMSA LMDH cars are racing here and have done since the two rule sets were put together. Ferrari has a great history in North America. Giuseppe Ricci has been a fantastic supporter of you. Do you look at the United States and think outright victories at Daytona, at Sebring, at Petit Le Mans? Is that something that you can be looking at? Not now, but is it at least an opportunity, a thought process for you?
Yeah, at the moment, definitely, as you can see, we are focusing on the WC, which is quite a tough job for us and require a lot of effort because running three cars is not that easy. And there still remain that we are a small group, and so we need to find resources and insight for that. I cannot say that this will not happen in the future. I mean, moving to some races in US or if the full championship, I don't know. At the moment, as technical team, we are focusing on running the WC in the best way. And then I think when we are ready, then we will see what we can do to extend our experience around the world.
We can't wait for that when it happens. We really hope. There's a lot of people in the US who'll be listening to this who will be licking their lips in delight with that and in hope that that does happen and it can happen. I'll finish with this thought. You said at the beginning of this interview that the aim was to make cars that were competitive. Both of the projects did really well last year. In some ways, did they almost do too well? Because now you've got to do that again for 2024. You've got to take it on another step.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but this is always part of our history. At the end, when we do something in Ferrari in general, the first question that came into our mind is, now how I can do better? Because the car you just did is so nice that you say, okay, but how nice or performing, so it's... how we can do better. But real ways in the histories is always teaching us that by working hard, we are able to do better. Mm-hmm. So we need to stay calm and focus it. And this season is probably the most challenging one for us because the car is basically the same as last year. Mm-hmm. We need still to scratch everything mm-hmm. we have because there are no modifications on the car at the moment. And to understand, to be competitive, understand what come the next, or which area we need to work to improve the car. So we need to stay focused, keep our humble approach. Let's say with same, I can say learning or when willing to learn, willing to progress, and I think if we apply this on our daily work, mm-hmm. we will succeed.
The technical group for the ACO, Thierry Bouvier, and the rest of his very clever colleagues, they take a performance of the car and rate it at a percentage. Let's say 100% is everything going perfectly well in a race. How close to 100% did you get last year, and where do you think the 1% or half of 1% are for you to improve without having been able to change the car substantially?
Well, this is a very difficult question. I think there is still some room for everyone in every race because a race is never perfect, under a certain condition. Even when you win, there is something that you can improve. Difficult, which is the percentage that is left for us to improve, is not easy. What's for sure is clear to us is that the more we run the car and the more we have, fixed the main issue or the biggest issue of reliability that we had in the past, mainly during the development phase, and some other issue that we faced or, area of improvements that we found during last season, for sure it's we are more confident that we can do better. But on the other side, being constrained by the fact that we cannot change too much in the car, mm-hmm. There is some asymptote that we can clearly achieve soon.
Wish you all the best in that. It's been wonderful following these two projects side by side. I realise that you've got to tell people that you can't win Le Mans every year. It's not always going to be like that, but I know you'll be trying just as hard throughout the whole of the WEC season. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to talk to us.
Very pleasure for me to talk to you.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.